This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
That's it, baby, when you got it flaunted! Flaunted!
It's Sunday night, and this is the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. I'm here with my co-host, Frank Venezia. And this is the place to be, folks, WOR 710. There's no show like this. You'll get information you probably don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about a number of things today, daily news articles, Uber. I'll take your emails at taxihail@aol.com. We have a recall to talk about, but first of all, there was something in the, Daily News, that the NYPD and city lawyers are engaging in a stunning pattern of evidence destruction in a high-stakes class action case alleging cops have issued 850,000 bogus summonses due to a quota system. Can you imagine that, Frank? 850,000 bogus summonses?
I wonder what the dollar amount is related to those bogus summonses.
So, in the article in the Daily News by Stephen Brown, Police Lieutenant Steve L. Brown, who is alleged to have implemented a quota in Queens' 105th Precinct, had destroyed text messages in which he denied a cop time for failing to meet goals for traffic summonses. I mean, if you drive in Manhattan, if you park anywhere, you're going to get a summons. If you're driving anywhere and you do anything a little out of the ordinary, chances are you're going to get a summons. They're all over the place. You know, I need a little headphone adjustment here, by the way. You may be hearing that a few times during this show tonight, just to let you know. So, there's this case. You know, it's a lawsuit. A trial on the case before Judge Robert Sweet is expected sometime like early next year. And if the plaintiffs prevail in the case, the NYPD could possibly have to overhaul the way it issues summonses. Now, there's no doubt that there's a quota system. You know, we've talked about this before. NYPD says, oh, there are productivity goals. It's not a quota system, it's productivity goals. Will you tell me what the difference is between productivity goals and a quota system if you have to reach this many summonses or else? I need that headphone adjustment, by the way. Thank you. And something that you've all been waiting for, there was a, I saw a blog, The Insider, by Eric Enquist. I believe he's the editor for Cranes, although I'm not sure. And, Cranes New York Business, as a matter of fact. And it has to do with a lawsuit that's going on in the yellow taxi industry against the city, the mayor, the attorney general, and the Taxi and Limousine Commission. And I will read the first two sentences. Lawyers for the de Blasio administration who tried to steer two lawsuits involving the for-hire vehicle industry into Manhattan have seen their effort backfire. According to an industry insider, Chief Administrative Judge Gail Prudente not only denied the city's request to change the venue of the two Queens cases to Manhattan, but consolidated them with a third, which had been in Manhattan. Now all three will be heard in Queens. So that's taken right off the internet. The plaintiffs contend the e-hails are equivalent to street hails, which are the exclusive domain of yellow cabs. And for those of you who wanted to know what happened June 22nd, this This article also says Judge Butler had ordered city lawyers to appear in his courtroom June 22nd to explain why he shouldn't make the TLC stop Uber while the case is pending, but the hearing was postponed because of the venue challenge. So that brings everybody, including myself, up to date with what's going on. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. And in a few minutes, we will have our guest. And who is our guest? it's E.J. McMahon. And E.J. McMahon, okay, is someone very special. He is a senior fellow at Manhattan Institute and the president of Empire Center. But we'll get to him in a little while. I see emails are already flowing in, so why don't I just read a couple, because I know you folks have a lot to say. Some of you can't call, and can you give me a headphone adjustment, please? Taxi Dave, can anybody tell me why TLC enforcement has completely stopped? It has become a jungle out there. Everybody is picking up on the street, making money, except cab drivers. TLC must enforce the law and protect what is left for yellow cabs. Thank you, Michael. Well, Michael, thank you for sending an email to the Taxi Dave Show. I certainly appreciate it. Here's one from, let's see. Okay. Just give me a second, folks. We have a lot of emails here. So I'm just picking and choosing at this point. But you know, before I do that, let me just read the one recall that's out there. If you own a 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee or Dodge Durango, thanks a lot, Frank. Those affected vehicles have rear lower control arms that may fracture. And that's serious, folks. If that fractures, you know, the car tilts to one side and you can have an accident. 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokees and Dodge Durangos. Oh, in the newspaper, in the Daily News, there was an article about Uber. It said that this past Friday, Uber will launch a $10 carpool deal to push back on city officials' complaints that Uber is clogging Manhattan streets. Clogging Manhattan streets. Let me tell you something that got me real upset. I was in the city Friday night, okay? I got into the office early in the morning, like 6 in the morning, and I went over the bridge at the end of the day in the late afternoon. It took me 1 hour to do 45 miles until I got to 57th Street and 12th Avenue. From 57th Street and 12th Avenue to 41st Street and 8th Avenue by the Port Authority, it took me 40 minutes. 40 minutes!
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Oh, yes, studies show Times Square traffic is moving faster than ever. Not in the city I was in Friday. Crosstown traffic, is moving better than ever before. I need a headphone adjustment. Better than ever before, like 5 lights. You know, I actually had to go uptown and go across to go back downtown, but that's little tricks that experienced drivers in Manhattan do and use in order to get around. Traffic is worse than it's ever been before. Okay? So when people talk about, congestion. Congestion? You know, you want to know why fewer people are being picked up? Because cars can't go anywhere in Manhattan. It's a travesty. It's a travesty. Trucks can't make deliveries. Customers can't drive and park. You want to know why people walk in late to a Broadway show 40 minutes after it starts? Because they were driving. It's nuts. And for you wonderful city bike lovers, City Bike rolled out a new contract last week for hundreds of its mechanics and technicians and other employees. They're going to get a 20% raise over the next 5 years. And they got an instant $1.50 an hour increase just this past week. That there was a lot of disgruntled employees. You know, the bikes weren't being kept in the best condition. The hours were crazy. What could I tell you? Anyway, let's move forward to my guest. If you know, as we all know, you know, what would you think about New York State's financial situation? They had a $5 billion surplus. I need a headphone adjustment there, Noah. Sorry I keep saying that, folks, but, you know, stuff happens. So maintaining the financial health, you know, is central to issues that we all care about, from transportation to education. But there was a recent report from George Mason University that claims that New York ranks towards the bottom of the nation in fiscal health. How can that be, you may ask? Why? We had a $5 billion surplus. The governor tells us things are great, taxes are down, revenue is up. Now, it seems counterintuitive, given that the budget season for New York State did have a $5 billion surplus. But that, if you recall, was the result of settlements with major financial institutions. So, without further ado, here to talk about that report and other issues central to New York State policy is E.J. McMahon. He's a senior fellow at Manhattan Institute and president of the well-regarded Empire Center. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show, E.J.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, do I call you E.J. or just E.?
Sure, that's fine. Or just E., yeah. Yeah, we'll be friends, E. Yeah.
Say hi to Frank, E.
Hi, Frank.
E.J., I refuse to call you E., but that's a personal preference.
Okay, all right.
How are you this evening?
Good, thank you.
I read an article in the New York Post that the, I guess it's pronounced Mercatus Center at George Mason University.
Yeah.
They ranked the state's economic health at 46th in the nation. I mean, Connecticut was 47th, New Jersey was 49th. Nothing like a strong tri-state area, right? So, can you explain to our listeners, how does that happen when we have a $5 billion surplus?
Well, two things. I won't get into the technicalities. I probably quibble with how low they ranked us. I'd say we were near the bottom, but not quite as close as they had us using. They used the word solvency, so that kind of implies that you're like going to go broke. We're not as close to actually being broke as Illinois is, for sure, or New Jersey. But that $5 billion surplus you alluded to, and you kind of alluded to what that is, there was no $5 billion surplus. The word is windfall. It's like you won the lottery, okay? You wouldn't say, hey, I earned, you know, $5,000 more last year if you won $5,000 in the lottery, right? You'd say, I won the lottery. I got some extra money. That's what it was. The interesting thing is that, as you said, we got this, we raked in, actually it's now approaching $7 billion. We've spent over $5 billion of it, or allocated it, in these fines paid by global banking institutions, mainly for violations of federal and state regulations. Biggest one was the one French bank paid us over $3 billion. But here's the thing, you're talking about traffic congestion. Very little of that money is actually going to be spent on transportation infrastructure, on the transit system or on the roads or bridges. The governor peeled off $1.3 billion to give to the Thruway Authority, which is a building a bridge, as you know, the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Right.
And through a paltry $250 million at the MTA, which has a $15 billion gap in its capital plan, specifically and only to start construction on a whole new line from southern Westchester through the Bronx to Penn Station, a train, the commuter rail.
Oh, you know what county the governor lives in, right?
Well, yes. But I don't. I think if it was benefiting, if he felt that it was benefiting him, I think he lived in Co-op City, really. But because that'll benefit more from this than anything else. But we're kind of squandering this money, and so this ranking. Here's the thing: this ranking points out. The real thing the ranking indicates is how many, what the weight is of the long-term liabilities of our debts and pension obligations and other long-term obligations for employee benefits that the state and especially the city have. And we are among the heaviest in the nation on that. You're a big, old, mature state with high expenses, high costs, high taxes. You're not growing, really. And this is the weight on the future. You know, there's another measure of this. There's a guy named Larry Littlefield who's a retired economist from the city planning office. He's like a top-notch policy wonk. He has something he calls the sold-out futures measure. And he ranks states, and his ranking of sold-out futures states, actually New York ranks in the same place as it does on this other ranking. This is a measure of basically what we've basically owe the past, okay? Debts, infrastructure work not done, and pension obligations we owe to people who have stopped working for us or will have stopped working for us in the near future. And by his ranking, the state's near the bottom, but really if you peel New York City out of it, here's the thing. This is really something. If New York City were a separate state, it would have a burden equal to 95% of city's personal residents' personal income for all of these debts and undone infrastructure and infrastructure debts and pension underfunding. It's really unbelievable. And that New York City, if it was a separate state, would by far have the biggest burden of these sort of expenses in the country. That's really something to be concerned about.
Well, I see that the state's debt load is more than 50% higher in New York than the national average. I mean, almost $3,000 per person. Is that right?
That's only the state debt. That doesn't include local debt. The Mercatus report only ranks states. And you got to remember that, you know, we're actually two states. There's another state in New York called the City of New York, which is bigger than most states itself. And then you got all the big counties and all the towns and municipalities and school districts around the city. When you add it all up in New York State, it actually looks worse than that. Plus, we have this enormous, these public authorities, which are these government entities like the MTA, like the Thruway Authority, like the Port Authority, which we share with New Jersey. And
I don't understand with the amount, the number of different taxes, the tremendous amount of income.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, everything you do from selling a house to using your cell phone to transporting gasoline, I mean, they tax everything and anything that, you know, I mean, breathing would be the only thing that they don't tax yet.
Well, that's the problem. And you're increasingly paying those taxes for a service you got in the past. You're paying this to continue providing a pension for some guy who picked up your garbage last in 1987. I mean, that's part of the problem. You're paying these taxes to pay debts for capital construction that's already worn out again, for a pothole that already, reopened.
So, according to the study, the future looks bleak for New York State. I mean, if you listen to, our elected officials up in Albany, it sounds like everything is fine, everything is wonderful, there's nothing to worry about. They've cut spending and they've lowered taxes. But why don't you tell our listeners what the future holds for us?
Well, the future is if we don't straighten out and if the politicians who control the city and the state don't start addressing the long-term needs in terms of especially infrastructure and catch up with and get control of these pension benefits and employee benefits and fund them better now, we're going to have this increasing weight on us. And people aren't stupid. They kind of figure out, even if they don't know all the numbers and understand it all, that if they don't like the weight of taxes here, they can escape them by going someplace else, which they're largely doing. And that is a real threat to the future of this region. And the people who are left here to pay these debts won't have the income that the people here now have. That's the real threat. You got it. When you've got a windfall of billions and billions of dollars, something that's never, ever happened before. No state's ever experienced anything like this, and we're not going to experience it again in our lifetimes. You can't blow it on political purposes and, on upstate economic development competitions and stuff like that, which is what the governor's doing. You got to spend it to catch up with your core needs. That's really the problem we have, and that's what we got to start doing. You know, Michael Bloomberg made a good point about this. And, he was a part of the problem, but also saw the long term. When he opened a segment of the New York City water tunnel, the New York City has been for like 40 years rebuilding the water tunnels under the
city.
Nobody sees it. Billions and billions of dollars. But it's essential, right? You got to have the water flowing. And he reopened this latest segment, which costs billions of dollars, unseen. Nobody sees it. And he said, you know, you do something like this, and it was him and the last three mayors under whom this thing was funded. And he said, nobody thanks you for it. Nobody's going to, like, you know, stage a parade and reelect you just because you spent on this. In fact, nobody appreciates it because it's no fun. It's like you own a house and you come into some money in a lot, or you own a nice house or apartment, and you got needs, and you own the house, you need a new roof. But, you know, the kitchen, you've really been wanting to redo the kitchen. Now, what would you rather do, have a dinner party and bring in the guests to look at your splendid new countertops and appliances, or tell them over dinner that, you know, you don't know it, but I've got a new roof on the place?
Have
you
a party. It's a little scary that the state is borrowing money from the workers' pension funds as well. They have in the past, and I believe they're continuing to borrow money from the pension funds, which adds to the debt.
Yes. I mean, well, the good news is, if you want to call it, or less bad news, is we haven't done nearly as much of this and haven't been nearly as irresponsible as New Jersey and Illinois. If it makes you feel any better, they're much, much
worse. That's great company.
Much, much worse. But yes, the state is deferring part of its pension contribution every year and turning it into basically a 10-year IOU that it will pay off in future years. And so every year, in fact, this coming year, the year we just started, the fiscal year in the state level, we're going to be paying more for total to the pension fund this year than we would have paid if we hadn't ever started doing that, because, you know, the pension contribution rose and then was supposed to go down, but we owe all this money to the pension fund, that these billions that we deferred since 2010. And we're going to keep borrowing, in effect, from the pension fund for several more years rather than make the full payment. So that's another thing. When somebody tells you we've got a surplus, even the smaller, much smaller surplus that exists aside from the windfall, well, is it really a surplus if it exists only because you didn't make your whole pension contribution? No. There isn't really a surplus. There is basically money you've concocted from, you know, through different gimmicks.
So let me get into... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Finish. No.
Well, I'm just going to change gears. Do you ever take yellow cabs?
When I'm in the city, I almost always ride the subway, and every so often I take a yellow cab.
Oh, good. Thanks for your support. But when you do take a yellow cab, there's a 50-cent MTA surcharge.
Right.
And have you ever heard, in all your experience, of one industry surcharging the public, collecting the money, and giving it to your competitor?
Yes. Well,
you have.
In effect, I'm driving around upstate and I'm paying extra, you know, if everything I touch in the entire metropolitan transportation region is surcharged to help subsidize this commuter rail and subways.
Okay, MTA.
It's not just the taxi cab. You pay extra for your auto registration. You pay, you know, do you think it costs as much to maintain the Triborough Bridge and the Throgs Neck and the Whitestone as you have to pay to cross them? You think it costs that much to keep that bridge standing and painted? No. I mean, they're subsidizing the MTA. The MTA owns the bridges and is subsidizing itself with the money from the tolls.
Not to mention the $15 going over the George Washington Bridge.
Well, that's the Port Authority subsidizing all of its stuff, including, you know, the second generation World Trade Center.
That's exactly right, yet they deny it now.
Well, gosh, there's no question that their tolls are that high, in large part because they are in the downtown real estate business and have been, you know, since the first World Trade Center. So that's the problem. That's how you get in a hole that is as deep as the hole we're in. And, you know, when you got a multi-billion-dollar windfall and you're charging all of these different fees, like you just named the taxi part of the fee, all these fees people pay, and you got a hole in the capital plan because you got to keep this system, the subway. You know, you may, no matter how much you like yellow cabs, you got to have this really extensive subway and rail system. Obviously, that's what. If that starts faltering and breaking down, then you're going to have gridlock from here in all five boroughs.
They have bus lanes, which messes up traffic, and the buses. Controller Stringer did a study. You know, anywhere from 5 minutes to 28 minutes late on rapid bus transit. If you wait for a subway, even rush hours, when they come one after another, you can't get onto the subway. There's no way to make it better. You know, this is all an illusion. You know, last time I heard, I forget how many people, over 1,000, or maybe it was 10,000, making over 100,000 a year at the MTA.
I mean, you know, that's, I mean, look, you could add up all those salaries and there'd be a rounding error in the MTA budget, okay? The MTA's, but, you know, got much bigger problems. Well, I'm not defending the salaries in the front office of the MTA, but they got much bigger problems than that. They've got, they did a series of labor contracts in the last couple of years that were beyond what they had budgeted that have sapped their resources even more.
I mean, just like New York State.
it's, you know, you can,
it's
we
contagious.
Could discuss all night whether you can make the subways better, but here's one thing. If you don't keep them in state of good repair, if you let them degrade, if you neglect the capital work you need to do to keep it running at all, which is what almost happened in the 60s and 70s, you really got problems. Because, you know, you've got to, all the pieces in the transportation system have to work and need to be kept up to, you know, the level that we, of good repair and smooth running.
And not only should they be good in good repair and smooth running, but the streets of the city of New York in the central business district, you should be able to drive. You should not have to walk faster than you can drive in Manhattan. We're the greatest city in the world, or at least we used to be. Frank?
I'm waiting for EJ just to give us the, I need a positive spin on this. You've been, mentally I've been taken to the brink. You got to give me the answer. What do we do going forward? Because
the good news is they're sitting on another nearly $2 billion they haven't allocated yet in windfall. And, you know, people need to recognize that maybe their legislators and the governor, or, you know, there's an opportunity there to at least put that to some good use. Every $1 billion helps. Every, you know, a billion here and billion there, and you've got, first thing you know, you're talking about real money. You know, the real hopeful sign is if people begin to understand what's actually going on and just basically confront, you know, the politicians in both parties, and I mean both parties, this is a bipartisan deal, and say, you know, who do you think you're kidding? I mean, like, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Where is the money coming from for all this stuff, and what are you doing to take care of the future?
Money.
It's fixable. Look, we've had worse problems in the past. In New York State alone and in New York City, in the past, we've had worse problems, which ultimately were addressed for a time. Not, you know, that was the fiscal crisis. There was a little luck involved also. There were some bigger economic conditions that helped a lot. But the risk is, frankly, you know, I'm trying to find good news for you, but the risk is that things will have to get very, very bad and much worse before anybody will be willing to recognize it and to make the tough decisions that need to be made to get control of the expenses in all of these operations and to actually set meaningful priorities when it comes to, for instance, the capital spending.
Nothing like planning ahead, huh?
Well, that's look, you know, you have to be looking at the future, not just the present, and that's what's gotten us in the hole we're in.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to E.J. McMahon, senior fellow at Manhattan Institute and president of the Empire Center. Listen, thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show and making some sense out of New York State, New York City's fiscal situation. Hope you'll come back again.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. Thanks for having
okay.
me.
This okay. is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. I have a number of emails. We have a couple of calls. So when we come back, we'll get into Inside Taxi. You know how we do that stuff, folks. And if you want to comment about any of EJ's comments, call us, 800-321-0710. Our email is taxihail@aol.com. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Shaking all over.
What a beautiful weekend it was in New York City and the tri-state area. This is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Here's a letter from Big Steve. We have too many wheelchair-accessible yellow taxis in New York City, none of them hybrid or fuel-efficient cars. However, in Amsterdam, taxis are using Tesla cars to serve the public. Tesla cars are made in America, but politicians are interested in the wheelchair-accessible taxis. They are ignoring the environmental effect. Too many vehicles are polluting the air 24 hours a day. It's time for only hybrid and electric vehicles in New York City. Thanks, Big Steve. Virgilio Carballo wants you to know, here's a letter from him, an email. I wonder how many yellow cab drivers besides me got summonses on account of this scheme. On March 5th, 2014, I was issued two summonses the same day, the same time, the same place, without asking me the $64,000 question. Do you know why I stopped you? Court date, July 16th, 2015. In solidarity, Virgilio Carballo. Thank you, Virgilio. This is from M.A., a driver for 20 years from Staten Island. 50% of Uber drivers have no experience about Manhattan streets. They are mostly from outer boroughs and are too inexperienced to hit the Manhattan streets. They are the number one reason for horrible traffic jams in the city. They are dependent on GPS. They cannot drive without GPS. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to drive. Some crosstown roads have two lanes to drive, but they drive in the middle and in one lane. And they stop in the corner where traffic makes a turn. Their eyes are always on their phone and are never on the street. We have a hard time getting a hack license, but they do the same job with a simple FHV license. Why doesn't the TLC make equal rules for all drivers? TLC puts all enforcement for yellow drivers, but all Uber drivers are far away from all enforcement. That's our city's justice. That's from MA, a driver for 20 years. Thank you for that. Sujan. Hi, Taxi Dave. How are you? I'm fine. The TLC should consider to change the rush hour time. How do they change the rush hour time? Suggestion, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. or even 10 p.m. Thank you. This is from Mahabub Sujan. Thank you, Sujan. Do appreciate the emails. Absolutely. And Sergio Cabrera. Hey, Dave, hope you're doing well. Decided to write so maybe I can articulate my point without going ballistic. The individual medallion owner is a mystery to me. Out of all the players in the yellow taxi industry, is the one that is being hurt the most. Drivers have many options right now. They have green cabs, livery cabs, Uber cars. The fleet owners, even though they sue the city all the time for whatever reasons are present, are not going to perish. They own real estate, have other investments, and generally I would say they are financially stable. On the other hand, individual medallion owners are really struggling to keep up with all these new challenges that are popping up. He wrote a story here. That are popping up as the transportation industry experiences these changes, whether financial or regulatory or the famous disruptive. Where are these people? Where are we going to unite and find back? When are we going to unite and find back? Together we can overcome these challenges. I believe that there are about 6,000 individual medallions. If we unite and financially contribute $100 each, this is $600,000 a week. Do this, and we have a sizable fund to further advance our billion-dollar business. We can't continue to run it as a mom-and-pop shop. Much more to say, but I'm leaving JFK. Thanks. Okay, you're welcome. Sergio Cabrera. Wow, our email address, taxihale@aol.com. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Let's take our first caller. Chabelle, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I do have a comment about Uber and Taxi and Limousine Commission. Taxi industry, the way it's going, does not look good to keep the economy going. Taxi industry is suffering all over the big cities in America. Taxi fleet and individual owners did borrow the maximum dollar amount. We cannot keep making our payments on medallions, home mortgages, and credit card, too. Now we are feeling the heat. We are going bankrupt because of Bloomberg, Yasky, and Mira Joshi. Why TLC? They don't stop Uber, Lyft, and Via, too. TLC, until now, is not helping the taxi industry. TLC destroying the taxi business by passing rules like the 50 cents, the 30 cents, the wheelchair accessible. Why TLC does not stop Uber, Lyft, and Via? TLC must release immediately the taxi app to help the taxi industry.
Well, thank you for sharing your point of view, and welcome back. We heard you were away.
Thank you. Yes, I was.
Okay, hope everything works out. I wish I had an answer for you. I know you're not asking me. You're just putting it out there. So thanks for listening, and thanks for calling, Charbel. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. Bob, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing, Dave? Mr. McMahon brought up a good subject in there on the thing with the taxation and everything else. But the taxation is going out. A good part of it is paying debt service. Now, I bring my favorite subject up, the Second Avenue Subway. That line has been paid for at least five times, never completed. How many other things are been paid for five or six times and never completed? We've got that all over New York City, all over Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk County, Jersey, and everywhere else. You've got the bond houses making 8.75% interest payments, and they dictate the fares. And this is where we have the problem, because the fares now are so high, the people who should be using the things can't afford it. The salaries are stagnant, as the gentleman before me commented on, and they can't make their own way. And we are now in a systematic heart attack as far as the economy goes. And
what do you
that
think,
is
Frank?
Listen, based on what EJ said, there's a lot of frustration on there, and I mean Bob is hitting it right now. It's a critical moment in time. Everybody feels like they're being squeezed. I mean, Chavel brought up some really good points. He's like, listen, just like everybody else, he's trying to pay bills. He's got a medallion. You know, there's only so much squeezing that can be done. When does it stop, and who's going to provide the relief? I don't have that answer for sure.
Well, I can give you one.
Tell me, please.
Back in Rome, they had the Julian Law, which restricted to payments of one time around. And they actually relieved the situation. This usury system is killing everything. If anybody wants to look that up.
I like the way they ate their food. All right, thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate you listening to the Taxi Dave Show. JFK Mike, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. How are you, Mike?
Yes, every time I hear a discussion about the MTA, I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
I feel like crying.
Yeah, well, I think the MTA should change it to like their logo to a pirate flag, get Cuomo wearing a patch with a little bird in his shoulder that just keeps saying, back! We need $5 billion! Back! You know?
I know that's not what I'm told.
That would be a little more entertaining than what we hear on a regular basis. I'll tell you, I don't even think half the people that work at MTA can spell MTA. Let's put it that way.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Hey. Yeah. Yeah,
pretty
good.
Yeah, no, this is my Sunday night material, so I'm surprised you're laughing.
I want to help build your confidence. I know you're probably working for a show later in the week.
Yeah, no, I'm the fluffer for the rest of the week. Yes, exactly. So, But listen, I just want to say you have a great show. Oh, and Thursday, they have some guys have an interesting point. They're talking about, they're going to probably start yelling about how horrible the cabbies are with the wheelchairs and the accessible. I mean, right now,
when
the
MTA... Thursday, when you say Thursday, is that the TLC hearing that's going on?
I believe so. There's a TLC hearing, and one cab driver was telling me that a couple of things he said, but first of all, that the buses weren't made for the motorized wheelchairs, and the motorized wheelchairs keep popping out the hydraulics on the buses, so that's why the sudden panic and rush to push everything into the yellow cab.
Really? I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, they went from basically a 40-pound wheelchair to a 200-pound wheelchair, and the MTA, in their wisdom, you know, surprise, surprise, wasn't prepared for that. So,
well, what do you think about this with the MTA, Mike? There was a report that the MTA put out. Remember that bus driver who was arrested because she was turning and killed a 64-year-old man? Well,
right.
Their report came out that said bus driver Teresa Gallagher could have avoided hitting that gentleman, John Lavery, if she made a left turn at 5 miles an hour instead of between 11 and 15 miles an hour, like the MTA authority instructs. And she was arrested under the city's right-of-way law, which is part of Vision Zero, that hits drivers with misdemeanor charges for avoidable crashes that severely injure or kill pedestrians. What do you think about that?
Well, all I know is there's never anybody getting ticketed or summoned for jaywalking. I mean, I don't know the facts of the case, but if you're making the buses go less than 10 miles an hour, the bus isn't going to go anywhere. I mean, that's if there's no traffic. If there's traffic and all that bus can do is 10 miles an hour, you're just going to have people sitting on a bus. They're not be going anywhere. They'll just be sitting on a bus. I think it sounds to me, in my personal opinion, that they're trying to throw it on the poor bus driver to avoid liability for the MTA. So, you know, that probably is the way that's working.
Okay, Mike, thanks for listening and calling into the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you, everybody. Have a nice week. I'll see you later.
Okay. Serge, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes, sir. What I wanted to say...
Okay, I think we lost Serge. Let's take Tom O'Connor. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yes, Dave. How you doing, Dave?
I'm fantastic, Tom. Good to hear your voice.
Right. Let me say I'm very upset with the owner-driver groups within the city of New York, the Longtos, the Melroses, you name them. They don't do anything for the owner-driver. They build big buildings. They have all kinds of organizations within and on the outside, and they're not up front trying to spend some money in protecting the medallion for the New York City taxi owners, the independents. I'm not talking about the big fleets. I'm talking about the poor working guy that goes out and puts X amount of dollars down and pays these bills off, and he gets no representation from the Longtos, the Melroses, the progressives, and we go on and on and on.
You know, I got to cut you short, Tom. I got to cut you short because it's four credit unions, okay, who united and are actually suing the city of New York. I read something that was in Crain's New York Business. I mean, they're spending a lot of money to sue New York City to protect the individual medallion owner. That's what it's all about. So I just wanted to fill you in with that, but as always, thanks for listening and thanks for calling. Caesar, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, good evening, Dave. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Hey, and don't forget Frank. You didn't ask Frank how he's doing.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm good. My topic today is that what you guys, a.k.a. call the TLC, I call it a tax squad, and they are extremely aggressive against the drivers, and these guys don't know what they're doing. They're pulling guys over in unmarked Ford Fusions. These guys are not police officers. They don't have police officers in the vehicles. They're harassing the drivers and issuing them these kangaroo court administrative tickets. And when you go to this TLC court, the so-called judge, which is an executive administrator for the corporation, under the contractual agent acting as person, charges the drivers with these ridiculous fines, and these fines are just, it's driver-owner based, and it's just unbelievable. These guys don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. Uber, when I worked for them, they were in Brooklyn. I was the only car with a TLC plate. They promised me, I think it was $1,000 after 90 days. I never saw it. And they were at all the hotels with straight plates, and the TLC didn't do a thing to find them or stop them. And on top of that, from what I understand, Travis is in there with his partner, Mayor Bloomberg, and they are out.
When you say Travis, who do you mean?
I'm talking about the clown from Uber.
I just wanted you to explain. Go ahead.
Is that out his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
And the reason they're here is they're here to destroy the industry. And what they did was they went to a lot of garages, like a couple of garages I know on 21st Street, where these guys have 300 to 600 cars sitting on a Friday, Saturday in the garage, because Uber went to all the garages and said, hey, you know what? How much you paying? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a car. If you make, you pay. If you don't make, you don't pay. And I thought that the green cars weren't going to be out on the road, because from the way I understand it, from if you read the city charter, it says that the yellow cabs have the right to the street hail. So what are they doing with a borough taxi? And how dumb could these guys be to get into a borough taxi when they can't go south of 96th Street, they can't pick up at the airport, and they can't do a VIP? Does that make any sense?
You know, the problem with a lot of these app drivers, they feel, because they have an Uber sign in the car, that they are allowed to solicit in New York City. They feel they're allowed to roll down their window and say, hey, you need a lift? Let's make a deal. And nothing goes through the company. I mean, they're hurting everybody, including their own company. It's unfair, it's unjust, and if you want to save the city economy, you know, get all of NYPD and all of TLC to concentrate on the illegal street hails. And what I mean by that is illegal solicitations. It happens on every corner.
Dave, you ever been to Brooklyn, to Clarendon? You ever been to Atlantic? You ever been to Utica?
Tell me about it.
Okay. All day long, where's the TLC? The TLC, every day I see them with their Fusions. I got every single one of their plates because, you know, there's a dossier out on them. Since the two guys died at JFK, they have all the names of the TLC guys, their socials, their address. There's the dossier is just like the dossier that the NYPD has on the rappers, okay? And these TLC guys, they want to give them guns now, okay? These guys, they should shut down the TLC because there's no purpose in having this TLC and these guys. All right? I talked to a couple of their chiefs, and their chiefs said, well, we got to let the guys over there on Clarendon make money because they got to make money. So you're trying to tell me that you're just a tax squad to find your licensed drivers, but those guys over there that you know they're operating, you should be there every day in Brooklyn taking their cars. You don't do nothing, but you come out and you harass your licensed guys, which are paying your fees, okay?
Calm down, Caesar. Calm down. Hey, can I ask you something? You're all over the place. What do you do for a living?
I'm retired. I drive.
Oh, okay. I was just curious because you seem to know a lot and you certainly have some strong feelings about a lot of things.
Listen, Dave, I thank you for that and I respect you for that, but listen to what I'm going to tell you, all right? I read the dossier with every TLC officer, okay, and inspector, and I hope they're listening, okay? Let me tell you what's going to happen. If they continue what they're doing, these guys are going to stand up to them, and it ain't going to be good because they're very abusive. I drive. I could tell you how it. Listen, you hear me talk? I'm an American. I'm born in this country. I got pulled over by them, and they treated me like I was some, you know what I'm saying? Like I got off a boat. You understand?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
What I can't figure out is how you pulling a guy over in an unmarked car. You're not identifying yourself. You want to know my name. You want me to give you information. Who are you? What's your badge number? Who you working for? You're not the police. You're not a cop. You ain't got a gun. What are you doing? Why is there not?
So I take it you've been stopped by the TLC in the past.
Is that correct? I've been stopped by them. I've been charged for street hail when it was a baseball, all sorts of things. And now, if they think it's a street hail, they'll take your car now. So,
okay.
You know, when they're around, I mean, I know all their cars. You know what I'm saying? I got every single plate number, I know what they drive, where they drive. I know there's a TLC squad that every day when the drivers are out there, they report to all the bases, and the bases play it out over the radio. You know what I'm saying?
Got it. Caesar, listen, I love all your information, and you're very passionate, so I want to thank you for sharing it with our audience on the Taxi Dave Show. This is a live show, folks, okay? You can call in also, 800-321-0710, or send us an email at taxihale@aol.com. This is what you get. You get people who are passionate, people who've experienced things, people who have a lot to say, and they don't know where else to say it. Okay, so I guess that's what we're here for, Frank.
That's exactly what we're here for.
Man, boy, Caesar's really, really got a lot to say. Frank. Oh, anyway. So, as you know, the last few minutes of the show, I usually do something for me, something I enjoy. But let me give you an example. Before I do that and tell you a little bit about Orange County, you know, I went to see a Broadway show Friday night. I told you how terrible traffic was. Am I the only person who experiences traffic in Manhattan? Am I the only person where it takes 40 minutes to go from 57th Street to 41st Street? Of course, traffic on the West Side Highway going north was backed up from the George Washington Bridge as far down as you can see. But how do you drive in that every day? Something's got to be done. There's too many vehicles. You know, people pay a lot of money for a medallion to work the streets in New York. The city's supposed to be their partner. Make it easier for them to pick up the public and service the public. No, we'll have bus lanes, okay, for buses that are late because there's too much traffic in there. But yellow cabs? No. Oh, just got an email. Someone's all fired up like Caesar. Yes, he's all fired up, right? it's amazing what comes through here. And Frank, after the show, I'll tell you about one email that I can't read.
Only one? I'm surprised.
No. Okay, and here's one from Pat Johnson. Nice job, Dave, as always. Imagine how bad the fiscal situation would be if yellow drivers received overtime benefits, vacation, pensions, etc. That's from Pat. Okay. Listen, it's live radio. We do what we have to do. But you've got to, if you drive in Manhattan, I mean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it anymore. Traffic has never, ever been this bad. So anyway, you know, I live about 75 miles north of the city. And, you know, what could we do? There's a little winery called the Brotherhood Winery. They had a wine festival yesterday. And they had live music. You know, Black Dirt was the name of the band. I mean, that was nice. You know, a couple of hours on a nice sunny day. And there was free food. Today, I found out about a car show, classic car show, 5 minutes from my house at a place called Laser Park. Hundreds of classic cars, you know, some hot rods, a couple of real old ones, and, you know, mint condition vehicles. I like that kind of stuff, as you can tell, because I'm in transportation. So, you know, you show me some classic cars or old cars that people have a passion for. They live for those cars, right, Frank?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they love it.
So, you know, there's a lot to do in Orange County. If you come into Washingtonville, eat at Betty's Country Kitchen. You know, it was a house we had Kevin, the owner, on a couple of weeks ago, built in the 1890s. You know, it's small town USA. You know, and one thing we don't have is Manhattan traffic. You know, it just amazes me how, you know, within an hour away, it's a different world. You know, I never felt like a tourist, but Friday night, I work in Queens. Melrose is in Queens. In fact, we're broadcasting from the beautiful Melrose Studios in Briarwood, you know, overlooking that wonderful international highway. What's it called, Frank?
I believe that is the picturesque Van Wyck Expressway.
Oh, it is picturesque, absolutely. Keep your sunroofs open. Enjoy the waterfalls and the palm trees as you drive on the Van Wyck Expressway during the summer anyway. But where was I? I forgot where I was.
You were in Queens. Washingtonville with no traffic.
Yeah, so Queens, you know, there's a little traffic here and there, like on the Van Wyck Expressway. And, you know, the roads, I mean, you can move, you can drive, it's not that bad. You go from Queens to Manhattan, it's like running into a brick wall. And everyone has to sit on surface transit and sit in the traffic. The people in buses. And now the pedestrians, one result of Vision Zero that wasn't expected. I mean, the good stuff is deaths are down, and you can't put a price on life. That is a great thing. But many of the pedestrians feel now, they look at you with a vengeance, like, I have the right of way, buddy. You know, as far as I'm concerned as a pedestrian myself, Frank, if I'm crossing the street, steal Trump's skin. Go ahead, guy. After you. You know, I'm not taking a chance. What could I tell you? Well, I want to thank our guest, DJ McMahon, for coming on the show tonight, talking about a little of the fiscal nuances in New York State and what's going on. Every week we're going to look to bring you an interesting guest, not necessarily transportation-related, but a lot of the money could have gone to transportation when we had that surplus, and hopefully it will. Frank, thank you. All our listeners, all our callers, and Caesar, thank you so much for riling everybody up. What can I say? All right, it's Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. We'll be back next Sunday. I gotta go now.
Hey, taxi! Get me out of this traffic!